Feeling disconnected at work? Is stress or even isolation just part of your daily grind? What if a few minutes of meditation could actually change that? Today we're going to dive into how mindfulness isn't just about personal well-being. It might actually shape how we treat each other at work. Dr. Vince Polito is a cognitive scientist at the Macquarie University. He's been researching how short mindfulness practices can reduce bias and increase pro-social behaviour amongst individuals. Joining us today to unpack what these findings might mean for workplace culture, how mindfulness could play a real role in building more inclusive, focused and emotionally intelligent teams. We welcome the one, the only, Dr. Vince Polito. Thank you so much for joining us here on 2SER Breakfast. I really appreciate your time today. When we talk about mindfulness in the workplace, what are we actually referring to?
Well, mindfulness is something that has become extremely popular in psychological sciences over the last several decades, and most of the research that's been done on mindfulness has been looking at whether it can be something that can help with treatments around anxiety and depression, making people more sort of aware of their life, helping with mood, basically. But because of this interest, there's also a number of companies that have started to pay attention to mindfulness. And right. So very big organizations like Google and Intel have mindfulness training programs that they put staff in as a well-being sort of measure. But actually, it hasn't been investigated that much within a workplace setting. So the work that we did was done with a student of mine, Emma Williams, a few years ago. And we decided to investigate what impact these interventions might have, and particularly whether a short intervention makes any difference to people's attitudes in the workplace.
And so what sort of form do the interventions take?
Well, usually when people do a training program through a big company, they might do a 4, 6, or 8 week program where they'll have a session once a week and they'll learn mindfulness practices.
Yeah.
That's not what we did in this study. In this study, we set it up more as a short-term experiment where we just exposed people to either a single guided mindfulness audio recording or an audio recording that wasn't really about mindfulness but did encourage people to relax. And so we were really trying to see whether it was these mindfulness instructions about really being aware of every thought and every sensation as they arise, whether that has an effect on people. And when we study these sorts of things, there's two sorts of effects that we might be interested in. There's a state-based effect, which is like the immediate effect that an intervention might have on someone if their consciousness or their awareness is temporarily altered and if that has some effect. And then there's more of a trait-based effect, which is whether exposure to an intervention like this might have some sustained or lasting changes.
So these mindfulness interventions, they sort of take the form of what people might traditionally refer to as meditation.
Yes, absolutely. The idea of mindfulness definitely comes out of sort of traditional meditation practices. Meditation practices are sort of this much bigger concept where traditionally meditation was almost like a spiritual or sometimes even a religious practice where people would meditate as a way of really increasing self-awareness. That idea has kind of been, in a sense, minimized or part of that has been taken out and developed as mindfulness, which is one important aspect of meditation, but it's not everything that meditation is. And it's been sort of developed more as a mental health treatment, which is a little bit of an unusual move. You know, there's definitely some criticism of this idea of sort of Western psychology taking this part of meditation and turning it into a therapy, which isn't really what it was designed for.
Yeah.
But there is pretty consistent research showing that these mindfulness practices can have benefits.
What would it look like to introduce these short mindfulness interventions into a regular workday?
Well, it would be people taking time out of work and concentrating on being aware of thoughts, being aware of feelings, trying to cultivate this attitude of ultimately like automatic awareness of thoughts as they arise, feelings as they arise. And so that the idea is that when someone is highly mindful, that they're not as caught up in the flow of emotions and not as reactive to everything that happens, but they sort of have this maybe one step removed awareness of things that are happening, like awareness of their own emotional states and thoughts, so they don't get as caught up in what's happening as it occurs.
And this awareness could help with promoting inclusion and team connection there in the workplace.
Well, we did find some indications of that. So in our study, as I said, we just sort of had this one-off exposure to an audio recording, and we wanted to see if just that brief exposure to mindfulness would make a difference. And so we looked at a few things. One was we looked at people's workplace attitudes. So there, we had a questionnaire looking at a concept called organizational citizenship behavior, which is a bit of a strange label, but it's really a set of behaviors in the workplace around willingness to help each other, help colleagues out, taking more time to do something that might, you know, something that might cost you more time, but is going to make things easier for your team, these kind of altruistic workplace behaviors.
Yeah.
And we did find that people who had been exposed to the mindfulness intervention were more likely to endorse those kinds of attitudes even after a single intervention. So that was quite interesting.
Yeah.
But we had some other components to the study also, where we were looking at people's implicit attitudes and their cognitive biases. And those are both things that have been reported to be improved by mindfulness practice. We didn't find changes in either of those in our study. And in a sense, you know, it would have been cool if we had found that, but it's not that surprising that we didn't, because this was really just one exposure to a short mindfulness intervention. In a sense, it would be quite remarkable if that one-shot kind of treatment would change these more ingrained kind of cognitive attitudes.
So it's like anything, you've got to sort of work on it.
Yeah.
Like a one-off thing will get you started down that path, but you've got to be consistent with it.
Yeah, so that's sort of the conclusion we had from this project, is that even one exposure did change people's endorsement of different attitudes and their intentions to perform behaviors, but and that's promising, and it sort of suggests that increased exposure might have deeper cognitive impacts.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I guess it is supportive of these kinds of programs.
What do you mean when you say cognitive biases?
Yeah, so cognitive biases are sort of automatic mental shortcuts that we take to make decisions. And so we were in particular looking at something called the sunk cost bias, which is where if you've put effort into something, even if it starts to turn out that the outcomes of this project or this set of effort isn't getting the benefits that you want, because you're already invested in it, it's very hard to realize that the logical thing to do is to stop and do something else.
Yeah.
And so we were investigating sunk cost bias just with some vignettes, some sort of scenarios that we described to people and asked them sort of the point at which they'd stop. And the previous research had shown that people with mindfulness training sort of are able to realize that it's time to stop earlier than people without mindfulness training, but that's not actually something we found in our study.
Tell you what, I'm going to help your study. I'm going to try and do a bit of this. I'm going to try and incorporate mindfulness into my daily work life. And we'll get you back, Dr. Vince Polito from Macquarie University, to check how I'm going, if you wouldn't mind doing so. If someone themselves wanted to start using mindfulness to improve not just their own focus, but their relationships at work, where's the best place to begin?
I think most people with most psychotherapists, most psychologists definitely have at least some training in mindfulness and can teach those sorts of things. But yeah, it's not something that you need to go to a psychologist for. There are many sort of mindfulness resources online. There are groups like Buddhist or even secular Buddhist groups that teach mindfulness in very sort of rigorous ways. And so it's something that definitely can be learnt with some practice.
You read between the lines of my question then, didn't you? You knew I was looking for something affordable. If people want to find out about the stuff that you're doing, you're going to be heavily involved with National Science Week, which is coming up very shortly. You'll be speaking at an event called Science at the Edge of Consciousness, happening at the Factory Theatre on the evening of Thursday, 14th of August. What will you be discussing there?
So at Macquarie University, I lead a lab called the Altered States Lab, and we investigate all sorts of different altered states of consciousness. We do research on meditation and mindfulness, as we've just been talking about, but we also investigate things like hypnosis, breathwork interventions, psychedelic treatments, and we're going to be doing a show in Science Week where we'll be giving a bit of a showcase of some of this research, talking about what is an altered state of consciousness, how do we measure these states, and what these states can do for people, why we're interested in them. And so talking about sort of the potential for clinical outcomes or cognitive benefits from altered states of consciousness. And we'll be presenting this work at the Factory Theatre on 13th of August.
Excellent. I will put links to your work, as also links to the National Science Week website, where you can get tickets for Science at the Edge of Consciousness at the Factory Theatre, Thursday, 14th of August, from Macquarie University. Dr. Vince Polito, thank you so much for joining us here this morning on 2SER Breakfast.
Thank you for having me.